tonight. So pray that I will be given some mercy to give a class. And I will also ask some of you to participate. When I ask questions, there will be tests given on this subject matter. And if there is any corrections to be made, that is all right. Sometimes I may even give something incorrect just so that you can pick it out. So the invocation we say, is it the first few words in the first canto or the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Who says second canto? Who says first canto? Who says both? Is both. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 13th chapter, 25th verse. Sovir patir api sujana samavagata paramatma sat satatva atmani avidyaropitam cha dehatma matim visarja evam hi nripa bhagavad ashrita ashrita nu bhavaha. Divides up a little differently here. So vira patir abhisujana samavagata paramatma satvati atman. Okay. What's that? Just do word for word? All right. Word for word. So vira pati. The king of the state of Sovira, api, certainly, sujana, from an elevated person, samavagata, having completely understood, paramatma sutattva, paramatma sutattvata, the truth of the constitutional position of the spirit soul and the super soul. Atmani, in himself. Avidya, by nescience. Ajja aropitam, erroneously attributed. Cha, and. Deha, in the body. Atmamatim, the concept of the self. Visasarja, completely gave up. Evam, thus. He, certainly. Nripa, O king. Bhagavat ashrita ashrita anubhavaha, the consequence of taking shelter of a devotee who has similarly taken shelter of a spiritual master in the parampara system. One is sure to get out of the great nescience of the bodily concept of life. Translation. After receiving lessons from the great devotee Jad Bharat, King Rahugana, of the state of Sovira became completely aware of the constitutional position of the soul. He thus gave up the bodily conception completely. My dear King, whoever takes shelter of the servant of the servant of the Lord is certainly glorified, because he can without difficulty give up the bodily conception. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjha 22:54, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastrakai, Lava Matras Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hai. It is a fact that if one takes shelter of a pure devotee, one attains all perfection, even if the association is a short one. A sadhu is a pure devotee of the Lord. It has been our practical experience that the first instruction of our spiritual master infused us with Krishna consciousness, so that now we are on the path, we are at least on the path of Krishna consciousness, and can understand the philosophy. As a result, there are many devotees engaged in this Krishna consciousness movement. The whole world is revolving under the bodily conception. Therefore, there must be devotees all over the world to deliver people from the false bodily conception and fully engage them in Krishna consciousness. Jai. Thank you for directing me to go straight to the word for word. It was hard to try to put this into verse form. Not that I do well enough with it anyway, but especially in this one, it is hard. So I will pray to Srila Prabhupada and to Gaur Nitai and to Krishna and Balaram to try to shed some light on what is being said here. We see here what happens after receiving lessons from the great devotee Jad Bharat. We see something particular about this, being the great devotee of the Lord. One, we find that this great devotee comes in the system of parampara. We don't approach Swami Hajpajananda at the Concoction Society. There must be many people that follow this, because we figure that this philosophy is that I will concoct whatever benefits me. Like I will think, I am just a humble servant. But you are the servant of a servant, so your job is to serve me. So when we are following Swami Hajpajananda at the Concoction Society, the main premise is to figure out how to concoct something that will benefit me at the expense of everyone else. But what is the problem with this? So many other people in the world are thinking this way. And it comes out to be a difficult world when everybody is competing against each other. So we find, who do we follow? Krishna mentions this in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he's talking to Arjuna, and he explains to Arjuna that in the beginning, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivishvan, and Vivishvan imparted it to Manu, and Manu to his son Ikshvaku. It said this science was imparted, evam parampara praptam imam raja rishi vidu, that this knowledge was imparted in the succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But then he explains, of course, the science as it is. He says that very ancient science, that science as it is, appears to be lost, and the succession was broken, and therefore I am explaining that science to you. And Krishna is showing how he comes to keep this parampara going. And we should be so fortunate that we are in the system where this jnana, the knowledge, is being given in the parampara. We see it is listed. There's four Vaishnava sampradayas. Ours was started by Brahma. Prabhupada said that ours was started by Brahma, and the Sri Sampradaya was started by Lakshmi. So we should ask them to help with Lakshmi, and we will distribute knowledge. And did they do that? They did. They gave us property in Tirupati. So it shows how we can cooperate with what we have, that this knowledge should be given in the parampara system, not from Swami Hajpajananda. There are so many people that get the knowledge in that way. But the idea is I should not be thinking how I can concoct information that is only for my benefit at the detriment to everyone else. But I should think how I can be the servant of others, how I can help others to advance in Krishna consciousness. This is the jnanam coming through the parampara system. But even better than just the jnanam, there is two systems of knowledge. There's jnanam, the study, and vijnanam. Who knows what vijnanam means in Hindi? What? Practical. What else? What's another word? When you're in school, science. Because you know what science means? Science means that, like, written knowledge is that fire is hot. Scientific knowledge is I spilled the ghee on my hand and it burns. And I realize that. I did realize that once. And you get that for sure. It is like knowledge is understanding that there is bijli, electricity in the wall. It is coming from the powerhouse. And realized knowledge is to stick a fork in the shock socket and feel a shock. That is realized knowledge, yes? Right? Did Prabhupada do that? Actually, he did as a child. He stuck the fork in. He just wanted to see. He stuck the fork in the socket and he got a big shock. This is the difference between studying electricity or bijli and experiencing it. The difference between studying fire, or if you set me on fire, I know what fire is then, isn't it? This is realized knowledge. So if we are studying knowledge, of course we want to study from somebody who has jnana, who has studied this knowledge. But even greater than that, we want somebody who has not only studied this knowledge, but somebody who has realized this knowledge. Wouldn't it be nice if Krishna had mentioned something about this in Bhagavad Gita? He did. He mentions this in the 7th chapter. Tat viditat pani prashnena pari prashnena sevayam upadekshanti tegyanam genani vas tatva darshanaha. Approach the self-realized spiritual master, inquire submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized master can impart knowledge unto you. Why? Because he has seen the truth. Tatva darshana. This is like the difference between somebody who has studied electricity and somebody who put the fork in the socket and experienced it. You'll find that. If someone else sticks a fork in the socket, they're experiencing this. But if you touch them, you won't experience this, will you? Right? Is that true? If they stuck a fork in the socket and they're getting a shock and you touch them, you won't feel it also, will you? You will. Don't try that. I saw this a few years back. Especially in America, we have 110. Here you have 220. Obviously, that's twice as much, right? That's jnanam. Realized knowledge is to stick the fork in the socket and feel the shock that's twice as much. I saw the one person had grabbed on in a shop to the metal and he was going like this. The person kicked him off of it. Because if you touch the person who is experiencing the electricity, you also get that shock. That's just like saying, if the rod is in the fire and it's hot, because the rod is iron and not fire, if you touch the iron rod that's in the fire, you won't get burned, right? Is that true? No, that isn't true either. You will get burned. Just like if you see the person experiencing electricity, you kick them off, you don't grab them, because you also experience that shock. Just in the same way, the spiritual master is the transparent fire medium. Maybe you don't see Krishna. You don't see the electricity either. But if you stick that fork in the socket, you'll experience it. or if you grab the person who is getting the shock, you will also experience that. So as they say, if you do what someone is doing, you'll get what they're getting. So if you see that someone drank alcohol and they're falling in the street, you think, well, if I drink the alcohol, I will also fall in the street. So we have to see that if I'm going to do what somebody did, I have to want what they got. I have to think, this person is a realized spiritual master. This one is a drunk. This one is a fool. I don't want to do what they did. We have to look at this carefully. We need a little jnanam before we get the realized knowledge. Because we want to make sure if we are going to experience something, we are going to experience something positive. More important than that, experience something that is spiritually positive. It's just like if you really want to experience that electricity, sticking the fork in the socket is the right thing to do. So if we want to experience Krishna consciousness, we get close to Krishna. We follow the example of those persons who have been in that, just like it says there. A lava mantra. Do you know how long a lava mantra is? How long is it? How many are there in a day? A million. You know, that's they divide things up in the metric system. And Krishna divides his time in the metric system also. Because Krishna goes by the Astakalika Leela, but the nighttime Leela and the daytime Leela are double Leelas. So it's actually a 10-part day. And if you think about it, that makes a lot more sense than this 24 hours where we have 8 in the morning and 8 in the evening. You just have the 10-part day. So a lava mantra is like 11th of a second. There's like a million of them. So a millionth of a day is not very long. But just like that electricity, if you think, oh, that person has stuck the fork in the socket and he's experiencing electricity, so if I just grab him for a second, it won't make much difference, right? Will it? It will. If something is that powerful, it's like saying, oh, I'll set myself on fire, but just for a second. Because the difference is that if you touch the electricity or you experience the fire, you keep on experiencing it, right? Just like that drunk. He may only drink the alcohol for a second, but he experiences it for a long, long time. So this shows us that before we want to experience something, we want to see what the people who took this experience are getting. If this person is the drunk in the street, if he is the fool, if he appears to be unhappy, then we don't want to follow his example. If he appears to have eternity, knowledge, and bliss, anandam buddhi vardhanam, then we think maybe I better follow this person and get some realized knowledge. So it's a big difference between someone who's actually experienced Krishna and somebody who's just talking about it in theory. I can talk about music in theory. I can talk about Indian movies in theory. But we listen to the acharyas of them. You know why I didn't watch any Indian movies? I think I told this before. You know why? In 1971, I met the acharya of Indian movies at the time. You know who that was? J. Om Prakash. We went with Prabhupada to J. Om Prakash's house. He had made the biggest Indian movies at the time. He says, I'll tell you the truth. Indian movies are corny and silly. He says, they are about ready to kill each other. I say, I'll kill you. And you say, no, I'll kill you first. He says, yes, but let's have a dance. Now, if he is the acharya of Indian movies, and they're telling me, he told me they are silly, how many Indian movies did I watch after that? How many? None. Just like once I went to make some incense in South Africa. And we went to get the flavoring. And the flavoring is the same one they use for orange and cherry and the sodas. And I was meeting with the chemist. And I asked the chemist, oh, do you make all these flavorings for the sodas? He says, yes, I'm the chemist who invented the flavorings for all these sodas. I said, do you drink them? He says, oh, no, I never drink those. I figure if he's the chemist that makes them and he doesn't drink them, I didn't even ask. I just didn't drink them afterwards. I trust that other thing that Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita. He's the taste of. What was he say he's the taste of? Was it thumbs up? Was it Fanta or was it water? Water! That must be the thing we're supposed to drink. Now, of course, we have purified water because he has, says he's the taste of pure water, right? Not with all the things mixed in it. The water is always pure, but sometimes the things mixed in it are impure. Just like the soul is pure, but sometimes it's covered with some other things that are dirty. So this is the whole point here. The mercy of meeting this person who has experienced Krishna. Not just someone who's a theory. And we see here what happens is, after receiving lessons from the great devotee, Jad Bharat, King Rahugana became completely aware of his constitutional position of the soul. Sometimes we read the things backwards. We look at the benefit. Right? If I said, after doing this certain thing, he became unlimitedly happy and got 10 billion rupees. Wouldn't you want to find out what they did before that, right? Or would you not care? So you say, okay, so what did he get? He completely gave up the bodily conception of life. And he was completely aware of the constitutional position of the soul. After what? Receiving lessons from the great devotee, Jad Bharat. This is an important point because it's not just like you see them reading the newspaper. I read the Hindi slowly, but I can see it says Amar Patrika, Amrit Patrika, something it says in, I forget exactly. But they just sort of read a little of this, read a little of that. That's not reading a lesson. A lesson is like you're reading how to take apart the engine. They read how to take apart the engine, they take apart the engine. A lesson is meant to provide a particular thing. We can get our lessons by reading the Bhagavatam. Just like they say, you know what the problem with the Bhagavatam is? The people who don't read the Bhagavatam don't find out what happens to the people who don't read the Bhagavatam. Just like if there's a lesson there that says, do not stick the fork in the socket, you'll get a big shock. Would you rather get that lesson or learn the hard way, right? What is it they come out yesterday with a bucket? Because Sani is the day of Saturn where you get your karma, right? No problem, you just do what you want, you'll get your karma later. Is that a good way? It's like saying, give me your credit card, I'll charge some things, you'll get a bill later. Does that make you feel secure? If all the karmic actions had a list of, here's what you get, here's what you pay later, right? Is there a list of this? It does tell us this in the Bhagavatam and the Gita. It talks about the modes of material nature. It talks about devotional service. It talks about cost to value. The devotional service is a certain cost, but the value is so great. The other one, wow, it's like nectar at the beginning, but boy, when you get that poison, you're going to be really sorry. But then it might be too late. That's why they give the idea you're hooked, like the rope snags you, right? The fish sees the worm. Oh, great, he tastes the worm, he bites it. Gets a nice taste of a worm. It's great, right? But then he's hooked. And then maybe he swims away, but the fisherman brings him in when he wants. So we have to be careful not to want to get this karmic result. We want the result of serving the Tattva Darshana to get what he got, to get this darshan of Krishna, to serve such a person and to understand from him. We find that we may emulate him, not that we imitate, but we emulate some of the things that this great spiritual master does. We find that sometimes parents tell their children, do as I say, don't do as I do. Does that work well? That doesn't work so well, does it? It's better to say, well, listen, I am doing this. Did Prabhupada ask us to do things he didn't do? I sent an email to, I didn't realize how much time had passed, but when I first went to Mumbai, we had programs at people like Sadaji Whitlaw's house, who owned the Punjabi hallway, and Sumati Maharaji's house, and a few other people. And Prabhupada had gone to these people in the 60s, and he had asked them to contribute towards printing books. He had sold books to them himself. And Prabhupada got on the he got on the cruise ship and went to America, right? Is that correct? No, it wasn't a cruise ship, it was a cargo ship, right? It's like when you go on the airplane, do you fly in the, people don't even want to fly in the main passenger, they want to be business class or first class. But do they fly in the cargo section? Who wants to fly in the cargo section of the plane? No, we don't. But to Prabhupada, the mission was to get to America to perform this service. He wasn't so concerned with, I'll wait till the luxury liner comes, or the first class air ticket, or till they establish a mission and they call me to do it there, right? Some people say, well, anybody could have done that, right? It's like you tell Wernher von Braun, well, anybody could have invented a rocket. And you tell Thomas Edison, well, anybody else could have invented the right light bulb, right? That's easy to say, right? Well, anybody else could have put together an engine. I could have done that, right? I can say that, right? It's not true, but I can say it. Just because you can say it doesn't mean it's true. They have that saying in Bengal that nobody has been killed by a falling coconut. That's also not true. So just because you say something doesn't mean it automatically has to be true. Same goes with the internet, of course. So the idea is we want to approach someone who is not only speaking the truth, but has experienced the truth and is willing to pass this information on to others. I noticed something interesting here with Jodh Bharat. King Rahugana came to him and he gave him all the great mercy that was and respect that was supposed to be given to a spiritual master. Just like Jagai and Madai gave all the respect that was due Nityananda, and the early hippies gave Srila Prabhupada all the respect he was due, and Hiranyakashipu gave Prahlad Maharaj all the respect he was due, right? Is that true? It isn't true, is it? These people are great spiritual personalities. Jodh Bharat, Srila Prabhupada, Prahlad Maharaj, Nityananda. To them, what was important? We have to think, you know, what is important? Just like when the person goes to distribute books, we think, what is the point? Is the point to go argue with people? Or is the point to go distribute books? So we think, what is the point? The point is that I want to learn about Krishna. I want to experience Krishna. So I go to someone else who can teach me about Krishna and who has also seen Krishna. And because the spiritual master is the Acharya, he does the things like he distributes books. Did Prabhupada ask us to do the Artik, but he's never done the Artik for Krishna and Balaram before, right? Has he? No? Did Prabhupada do the Artik for Krishna and Balaram? Yes. Did Prabhupada do the cooking? Yes. Did Prabhupada do cleaning? Did Prabhupada do preaching? And was Prabhupada always given the respect he was due? Did that make him quit? What was more important? We had to think, what is the point? Is the point more important that I do the service, or I worry about getting all the respect that I may be due? We find this, that Srila Prabhupada went on preaching even without being given the respect. We find that when Lord Nityananda was hit with the pot, the most important thing was that he cared more about Jagai and Madai than he did about his own physical comfort. We don't all think that way, right? And because of that, they thought, wow, this person is such a great saint, he cares more about me than his own physical comfort. We find Krishna even mentions this in Bhagavad Gita. One who is not put into difficulty by others or put others into difficulty is very dear to me. I know sometimes my mind, even if I think someone may be thinking about putting me into difficulty, I'm ready to go to war. And then I, wait a minute, I don't need to go to war. I need to try to be the servant. I need to try to be helpful to others. Now, of course, I may do is like I asked Pragosh, how is it you're successful at books? He said, I spend 90% of the time with the 10% who are most likely to buy books. So when we are preaching, the first thing we find is, does somebody have some interest? What is one of the things we try to do if we continue preaching to someone? How do we test them to see? Do you know what it is? We test to see if they're willing to take some instruction, even if it's just a little. We think the ultimate goal is just to surrender to Krishna. But in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions four kinds of people that surrender to him. Some people, of course, are in search of knowledge of the absolute truth. Wow, that's great. Others are inquisitive. Some people are in material distress. And some people are in want of money. So we have to test to see if the people at least have a little willingness to take some instruction. Are they willing to practice at least a little in their lifetime? And then we continue giving them instruction. But we see in this example here that Jad Bharat, he was doing the service for the king. He wasn't being paid. He was a great soul and he was being abused. But did he give up? And when the king was ready for instruction, did he give them that instruction? Did Prabhupada continue to give that instruction? Did Nityananda continue to give that instruction? Did Prahlad Maharaj care more about his father? His father didn't quite appreciate him. Some of us have fathers that didn't appreciate us. I know, I remember in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, you know, it's like, you know, he got a new wife and mother said, you can't sit on your father's lap. You know, hey, he's a pre-existing condition. You know, Dhruva Maharaj was there first, but they get a new wife and they think, wow, well, then the father says, well, I have a new wife now. Sorry. Though this can happen, but the great souls are simply interested in how they can give mercy to others. And we see that Prabhupada was interested in giving this mercy. Prabhupada did the hearing and chanting himself. Prabhupada would show us how to remember Krishna. Prabhupada would show us how to pray. Prabhupada showed us how to worship the deity. Prabhupada showed us himself how to make friends with the Lord. And eventually Prabhupada showed us how to surrender everything. So if we want to become the Tattva Darshanas and the servants of Krishna, then we follow all the examples that Prabhupada gave us in his life, right? We do all of the things that Prabhupada did except for one. What is the one thing we don't do that Prabhupada did that I mentioned? Which one? What is it? Which one? Who remembers? What did Prabhupada do as a child? What? Stick the fork in the socket. We don't follow that one. We take his word for that one. Believe, you can believe that that's true. Do you believe that you'll get a shock? Are you sure? You're not 100% sure, right? But you're willing to take that on faith, right? So that we follow all the things Prabhupada did in his life, but don't follow that one. That one we leave up to the spiritual master. So we don't just try to imitate and pretend. We try to become the servant. And we try to deliver this knowledge unto others. So, Prabhupada is gone now, so we can't really have contact with the spiritual master. Is that true or is that false? What? False! I remember in Mumbai in 1971, I'm glad I got to start early, because like when the boats race, they start the slow boats early. So because so many of you are so advanced, you got to start later. So I started early so that I would get a chance. But I used to wake up in the morning to do the Mangalarti, and I would hear Prabhupada translating the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada is the Tattva Darshana, the realized spiritual master, and he has ecstasies in relation to Krishna, right? Would we want some of these ecstasies? If I told you where he put these ecstasies, would you be willing to search them out? Where did he put these ecstasies? In his books. Wouldn't it be nice if these books were available to ourselves and others? Are they? Yeah, but give thanks for that. We didn't always have them. In Mumbai in 71, not all the books were translated, and they were printed in other countries, and we couldn't just sell them to everybody. They could only be given to life members. So you should be grateful when there's books to read and books to be distributed. That his knowledge is there in his ecstasies. That's why, you know, Srila Prabhupada may not be there in the physical presence, but if he put his ecstasies in these books are available. They are there in the lecture form. I even have it downloaded onto a Kindle so that I can put like 50,000 pages in one little bit that I can carry. And I read lots of these because I use the system they say with the computer, that you put garbage in the computer and garbage comes out. But I use the same system, but I don't put garbage in. I try to put Krishna conscious knowledge in. Don't worry, I already have garbage there already. If I need it, it will be there. You know, sometimes we are worried that, you know, if I give up my material life, then I'll lose all my miseries and I'll just have to be in Krishna consciousness and be eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Don't worry, you know, you can have these miseries refunded to you at any time. But the door is not locked. The door is open to the temple. People can go out and they can engage in these. Krishna allows us to do anything we want in this world, right? Just like you can go into the shop across the street and you can take any item you want, right? But what do you have to do? You have to pay for it. But the trouble is, if we don't find out the price, if we take the items without knowing the price, we will be billed later. But that is why we want to invest in Krishna consciousness and invest in serving the self-realized spiritual master. So that just like he experienced that electricity, we can experience this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And if a moment is good, then a lot more is better. So Srila Prabhupada put his ecstasies in these books. This is why we put them in book form to read. This is why when we give a class based on the Shastra and the purports that have been given by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes if we read a pastime enough times, we can read it in our brain because we've read it so many times, we can repeat it in our own head. And if something has to be repeated on our own head, it might as well be that. So the whole idea here is that we should try to connect with the spiritual master, connect with those ecstasies, and give those ecstasies to others. Like Prabhupada say, why create misunderstanding? Misunderstanding is already there. Let us create this eternity knowledge and bliss that is coming from the Tattva Darshana in our own mind and hearts, and let us give that to others. If we are going to take something and give something, it might as well be the best thing. If I say, here's a rupee note and here's a 1,000 rupee note, which one do you want? So which one is worth more? All the garbage that goes on, or the highest Krishna conscious knowledge that we can receive ourselves and give to others? Because the difference is, if I give the rupees away, I lose them. But if I gain some Krishna conscious knowledge and I give that to others, I even gain more. By giving this away, we even get more in return. It defies logic, but it's actually true. Just like when the person sticks that fork in the socket, and they're getting a shock. If you grab them, you'll even get a bigger shock. And if someone grabs you, they even get a bigger shock. It doesn't diminish, it increases. And if you don't think this is true, experience it. Not the bijali, the electricity, the Krishna conscious knowledge. Because if we're going to realize something, we have to analyze. This is what happens when the people realize this material activity. This is what happens when they realize the spiritual activity. And it may not come all at once, but we imbibe this knowledge in our heart. At least we have to become willing. Like Prabhupada says, if one is not against the principle of surrender, eventually it comes about. If people are having difficulty surrendering, you say, okay, Krishna, I accept that I do want to surrender more. Because I know I have to tell you the truth. I'm not as Krishna conscious as I would like to be. Who's as Krishna conscious as they'd like to be? Raise your hand. Who doesn't want more? So we all want that. We all want more. We want to be more Krishna conscious. And this is the point that's being given here. Is that even if we can't do all of those things, people came to a temple. Maybe they couldn't chant 16 rounds. Now I do. I took initiation, then I chanted before that, but if you came and you couldn't, you start with one, you move to four, then when you get initiated, you do 16. You don't go backwards from wherever there, but you're always willing to surrender at some point. And then Krishna will make it easy for you. I used to go to my rock and I'd pray for some way, my picture is on this, on the Facebook, and I would pray. I'd seen, this shows how little knowledge in the book can really help us. I'd gone into this store called the Mystic Arts World, where the people in Laguna Beach had a health food store and a bookstore. They'd always ask me, can you watch the bookstore for a few minutes? They'd come back an hour later. And there was this book called Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And it said, bhakti means you just pray to God for some way to serve him. So I thought, well, this is good. I'll go to my rock and I'll pray for some way to serve God. So finally, on January 5th, 1970, I'm praying to God. And my hippie friends used to say, someday for real spiritual life, we have to give up illicit sex and intoxication. Not today, not Sunday, someday, right? Later. Like it was the one Christian saint, I don't know if it was Augustus, I think he said, God, please make me chaste to you. Just don't do it today, right? So please make me surrender, but not yet. But at least the idea is willing. So my friends used to say, someday for real spiritual life, we have to give up illicit sex and intoxication. Just by doing something. Prabhupada says it's a long road from the beginning of karma yoga to the end of bhakti yoga. So just by doing something, chanting the name once is a start. But for real spiritual life, my friends used to say, we have to give up illicit sex and intoxication. So I'm praying like that. All of a sudden, I got this real strong inspiration. If I want real spiritual life, I have to give up illicit sex and intoxication. I thought, a wonderful idea. I'll do it in June when high school's over. What I'll do is I'll meet a few more girls, right? I'll go have a couple beer parties, maybe marijuana party, whatever else. And then I'll do it later, right? Later's always better, right? Just like if I offer you a kilo of gold, you say, well, I'll take it later, right? Is that what you say? Is it? No. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing now, right? Oh, I'll take that later. Not now, please. So then I thought, well, you know what? It's either a good idea or it isn't, right? So I thought, all right, God, you send me a way to develop love for you and I'll give up these things. Wow, this is, you know, this is a big order. I thought, how long will it take? I opened my eyes, and as far away from me of that camera is a devotee in saffron. And I thought, Hare Krishna, that's what I'm supposed to do? You know, Krishna says if you take one step to him, he takes 10 to you. Well, that was probably more than one. But, you know, and sometimes I take steps backwards, but I try to keep doing something, right? Try to keep moving. I asked him, what are you doing here? He said, well, I was up on the hill chanting, and all of a sudden I had this uncontrollable compulsion to come down to the beach. He said, would you like to come chant with us? I said, I think that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. So, as Prabhupada says here, what does the Tattva Darshana do? You know, when Prabhupada walked in to pay his obeisances, he's a Tattva Darshan. He saw another Tattva Darshan, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. And he could immediately see, he says, oh, you are intelligent boy. You should spread this movement in English to the Western countries. And Prabhupada immediately took that as his life service. If he couldn't do it right away, at least we set it as a goal. So we see that we approach the Tattva Darshan as they know the goal. And even if we can't do everything right away, even if I'm not at the Atmani Vedanam where I've surrendered everything, don't be against the principle of surrender. Think that when Krishna makes these things easier for me, I will take advantage of that and try not to move backwards from where we're at. Because I find my brain is filled with garbage. I did not get much chance to prepare. But I prayed to Krishna to help me to give some knowledge from this class. And that's not a big deal for Krishna. My granddaughter used to say, Krishna can do everything. It's not even hard for him. So that's the point. All the things that we think are a big deal aren't a big deal for Krishna. So the whole point of this is to meet this self-realized spiritual master and to grab onto them, just like we would grab onto the person who's getting the shock if we want a shock. But we don't want the shock. We want the Tattva Darshan of Krishna. So we grab onto the Tattva Darshan, and not just for the Lava Mantra, for millions and millions of Lava Mantras, and we don't let go. And we try to help others. We don't kick the others away. We don't go up to the deity and say, please get everybody out of my way, because I'm here to serve you. Thank you. Are there any questions, comments, or corrections? I said a few mistakes there on purpose, but I think you corrected those already. Anything else? Nothing more from there? So which one do we approach? Do we approach the Tattva Darshana, or do we approach Swami Hajpajananda at the Concoction Society? Do we meet some people who have gone to Swami Hajpajananda at Concoction? Yes? Well, what will Concocting get them? We think if I just get some knowledge for my own benefit, but the trouble is, what is the real benefit? We are all leaves on the tree. So I'll water my leaf, let the other leaves die, right? Forget the root, just water my leaf. But when we water the root, then the whole tree becomes happy. So thank you for bearing with my small bit of knowledge, and thank you for encouraging me for what little service I can do. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare.